Please, as we open our Bibles into Proverbs chapter 1, we'll be reading responsively in Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The wise man will increase in learning, and I'm sorry, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and a dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the message that you have given our preacher. Father, so much a blessing that you've given us even this morning. And now this evening, Lord, we seek to hear from the wisdom that you've given him. Father, today, give us hearts that will be surrendered to the preaching, that will be responsive to the hearing of the word of God. That, Father, in us it may produce faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that right now, Father, you make us attentive. Whatever things may be at home, whatever things may be requiring our attention, Lord, that it might draw us away from the attention we need to have here, that we put them aside for now, Lord, and we learn to focus upon what you have for us, that we may feast upon your word and grow thereby, that you may be glorified in us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Of course, this morning I picked up with this subject, the fear of the Lord. Verse number 7 is our text verse, and it kind of is our text verse tonight, though I'll be going to several different scriptures. And I'm going to review a little bit, get some of you up to speed. If you wasn't able to be here this morning, I spoke primarily on, of course, the fear of the Lord. What is it? The definition of the fear of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to get to the dividends of the fear of the Lord. I don't always take a part one, part two, and put it back to back, but tonight I just had a lot of information, and I hope that you pray with me so I can be clear tonight. I sometimes have so many thoughts going through my head, and I'll start talking quick, so sometimes you just got to slow down a little bit so I can be clear. But, of course, Proverbs is a section of the Bible known as wisdom literature. Talked about it this morning. The books in the portion of the Bible, are Job, or in this portion of the Bible, under wisdom literature, are Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. The focus of these books, of course, are to instruct men in the ways of the Lord and in his service. The book of Proverbs specifically is a collection of teachings from Solomon to his son, teaching his son how to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. You know what? We all ought to desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. I remember going down to Dan Ryan. It was towards, I think it was my last year of college. When they're down to Dan Ryan in Chicago, I was with my good friend who worked with me in downtown Chicago, and we were just talking and so forth. And I remember with tears coming down my face, we were just talking about the things of the Lord, and he says, Sean, what are you going to do? You know, a few months, you're going to graduate. What are you going to do? And at that time, you know, I mean, I was nervous about, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? I was kind of anxious. But I remember with some tears coming down my face, I said, Jerry, I said, all I want to do is please God. That's it. You know, whatever it may be, whether it was, if God takes me back to wherever and to be a layman, I just want to please him being a layman. If God sends me to be a youth pastor, which he did for many years, and an assistant pastor for many years, I just want to please God doing that. God puts me into a senior pastorate as he has this last year. I want to just please God. That's it. And we ought to that ought to be the desire of every teenager. That ought to be the desire of every child. That ought to be the desire of everybody here tonight, that we want to please God with our life. This book, the Bible, the very words of God, of course, is teaching us the same thing. We need instruction on how we can live a life that's pleasing to God. Solomon, the wisest man of all the earth, the Bible teaches that, very, very wise and so forth. Yeah, he was teaching his sons, the Proverbs of Solomon, verse 1, the son of David. He was teaching sons, teaching younger people, teaching the simple ones. Of course, we talked several months ago about the different characters in the book of Proverbs and several characters. Of course, the primary character is the simple one. The simple one being likened to a blank sheet of paper. Whoever gets to him or her first gets to draw the picture. And then we talked about the prudent person and then the scorner, which is all through the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to review all that long tonight, but the prudent person is the wise one. That prudent person, by the way, that prudent person started out simple. But someone, some wise man, whether it be a godly mama and daddy, whether it be a godly Sunday school teacher, a preacher, took that one underneath their wing and reproduced themselves. That's what it's all about. We ought not just, again, I said, we shouldn't be just happy with the status quo. We ought to have a desire to reproduce ourselves with the Christian life. And I mentioned it this morning. I think that's what Paul did with Timothy. You know, Paul understood the need. Paul said, Paul, an aged preacher, Timothy, a young preacher, Paul was training Timothy to go ahead and take the word of God, pass it to another generation and to another generation so that we may teach others also, the Bible says. And we ought to be doing the same thing. Mama and daddy, God's giving you a child, 3, 4, 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 children, whatever the case may be. You know what? You have a responsibility. Yes, they are the simple ones, so to speak. And let me tell you something. The devil do everything he can to get to your child. What are you going to do to try to stop him? You say, well, it can't be done. Yes, it can be done. Yes, it can be done. You know what? We just cop it. Well, you know what? The vices of the world are too strong. Let me tell you something. There's no strong force out in the world that God cannot handle. You know, God's stronger than the world. God's stronger than the devil. God's stronger than any evil force out there. And we ought to get off our little pity or a high horse, if you will. Well, you know what? My kids are going to do what they're going to do. No. You know, you ought to have some rules in that home and teach them the right kind of music. Teach them the ways of the Lord through the word of God. And because let me tell you something, if you don't, somebody's going to go after them. Somebody's going to find that simple one, that child of yours. You know, and I said it in this same area of soul winning. The simple one could be likened to a young baby Christian who maybe you have won to Christ. Hey, you know what? You won him to Christ. Write that name down. Follow up on that person because somebody's going to go after him. Somebody, you know what? Because he's untaught. He doesn't know. Yeah, he's been saved and praise the Lord for that. But somebody's going to teach him the fact that baptism is important right after salvation. Somebody's going to go ahead and teach them that going to church so that you can grow, so that you can become stronger is very, very important. Because if we don't go ahead and follow up, and again, this is where we Baptists get messed up a little bit, is discipleship. You know the JWs and the Seventh-day Adventists and all these other people out there, they have us hands down in this area of discipleship. It's true. You know, they'll go ahead, they'll go out there and they'll be persistent, and they'll go ahead and spread their false way, and we have the truth. We have the truth. But we can't get off our little high horse or get off our duff, if you will, and go spread the truth and tell people that we have the truth right here. Let's tell somebody about it. And when we do go ahead and tell somebody the truth, when we do go ahead and give them the word of God, and let's do everything we can to get them in church and follow up, have them get baptized. The Bible says right after salvation, baptism. You know, Paul, after he got saved, he got baptized. The Bible teaches Matthew 28, 19, and 20 after salvation, okay? Baptism is not a way to heaven. Baptism is something that you do after salvation by grace through faith. Acts chapter 2, and they that gladly received his word, the big day of Pentecost, after they got saved, after them thousands of people got saved, what they do? They got baptized. And they that believe got baptized, Acts 2, 41. You can read it later on. But you know what? We were talking about the fear of the Lord, the simple one, likened to a blank sheet of paper. The scorner is one that's a critic about anything that is right. The scorner will go ahead. You know, the scorner doesn't like, and I don't want to park here. I've parked many months on this, but the scorner can be a Christian. A scorner can go ahead and be the one that has no joy about them, and maybe they did grow for a while, but maybe something happened, and then they all of a sudden get critical. And you know what? I find that scorners and critics, they can't stand seeing somebody else be happy. They just can't stand it. So, you know what? The moment that they can go ahead and take their little problems to a simple one who's untaught and so forth, they'll go ahead and say, well, you don't want, church or the Word of God, well, you know, and they'll go ahead and scorn and be critical. You know what? Whoever gets to that simple one first gets to draw the picture. The prudent person, of course, is the wise person. The prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Why do the simple get punished? Simply because they've not been taught. But let me tell you something. That simple one, that child, if you will, that's in your home, mom and daddy, you have the responsibility to teach them this book right here. And by the way, what you do, ultimately they will do. In general, whether it's right or wrong, ultimately they will do, and oftentimes they'll do it even more. You know, if we are so nonchalant in our child rearing, and we are dabbling as a leader, as an authority figure in sin and different things, and your kid sees that, oftentimes, you know what? Oftentimes they'll go ahead and take that and they'll enhance it in their own life down the road. They were kind of, well, you know, well, mom and daddy doesn't see anything wrong with it. And because of that, they'll oftentimes just they'll even take it even more. I mean, half again as much as what mom and daddy did. But anyways, talking about the fear of the Lord. A prudent person is one who has the fear of the Lord. A prudent person is for them to become wise, to be able to foresee the evil. Somebody, when they were a simple one, somebody put them under their wing and taught them the fear of God. You're not going to just stumble across the fear of God. A prudent person chose to live a life in the fear of God, therefore training and teaching others to do the same thing. The scorner, maybe one, as I mentioned, they're saved. They could be saved. They became critical. They got turned off with church and whatever. He chose a path of foolishness. Therefore, he may run to that simple one and draw the picture before the prudent gets to him. The prudent wise man did not just get that way. Someone influenced them. The prudent person took them and led them and taught them the fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools will go ahead and stop their ears, you know, and no doubt maybe there's someone tonight, and I hope not, but maybe there's someone tonight. You're sitting here and you're just kind of, you know, maybe your head down and wondering when this is going to get over and so forth and so on. Let me tell you something, that is a very foolish behavior, because what we're doing is we're despising wisdom and instruction. The fool doesn't want to hear it. The fool doesn't want to hear the truth. The fool doesn't want to go ahead and hear the truth about the Word of God and hear preaching. The fool doesn't want to obey mom and dad. The fool doesn't want to go ahead and listen to instruction. The Bible says to cast out a scorner. You know what? When someone goes ahead, let me just say this. When someone goes ahead and tries to pull you away from the things of God, teenager, cast them out. Just walk away. You know, that's what you need to do. Don't you, well, you know, don't you start considering their ways. Don't you go ahead and do it. The moment you start listening and bending an ear to them, you become like one of them. The Bible says to cast out a scorner. As we read a while ago, that our text verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is a key verse, I think, that unlocks the power and the purpose of the book of Proverbs. It's vital to the Christian faith and success as a Christian. It seems that if we are to learn wisdom and knowledge, it will begin with one thing. If we're going to have the wisdom that God wants us to have and have knowledge and have some common sense as a Christian, you know, it's going to start in this one area, the fear of God. Having the fear of God will take one to godly knowledge. So what is the fear of the Lord? I mentioned this morning, fear. When we think of fear, we associate with what Webster's dictionary says. Fear is a feeling of anxiety, agitation, produced by a presence or nearness or danger, or evil or pain or danger and so forth. This is not the sensation that Solomon was talking about. The word fear in this context is talking about a reverence, an awe, and a respect to God. The fear of the Lord. That would be you pushing out your desires, and I spent much time on your desires saying, God, what do you want me to do? I respect you so much, God, and I'm in awe of you, God, that whatever you want me to do, I'll go ahead and bow on my knees, and I'll go ahead and do it. You know what? Let me say this. If you want the fear of God, if you want the fear of the Lord, if you're going to stand in awe and have a great respect for God, let me just warn you, you know what? Before you submit at an altar, that I want to fear you, God. And let me tell you something. There's some here tonight, they're not fearing God. We don't have that awe, that respect of God that we ought to have. The very one that is omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful, the very one that gave you eternal life. We don't have the respect for God that we ought to have. He's not on the top rung, if you will. We've got so many other things or so many other people on the top rung. We think more about Hollywood stars and sports stars than we do God. God have mercy on us. We think more about other people or other things or what we want to do more than we do God. Hey, let me tell you something. That's not the fear of God. The fear of God is when we stand in His presence and we say, God, I respect you. I love you. You're in awe by His presence. You reverent Him. That's what the fear of God is. And not talking about being scared of whether He's going to do something to you. You don't have to be agitated with God and feel like He's going to hurt you and you're in danger of God. No, the fear of God is you. The definition of the fear of God is you being in awe of the one who created the world. Well, that strikes me in awe. The very fact that God spoke this world in existence. I can tell you, by the way, it didn't just happen. Didn't happen by some big bang. It takes more faith to believe in that than it does to believe that God created the world. But, that's what the fear of God is. We need to put God in His rightful place, above all whom we know and respect. He ought to be first. The fear of the Lord, a deep reverence and awe, respect for your Maker, the one who gave you and provided eternal life for you. We ought to be humbled in His presence. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the fear of God tonight? Do you really have a respect for God? Is he where He ought to be tonight in your life? When you get up in the morning, what do you think of first? And I'm not going to boast, but you know the first thing I say in the morning, I get up, that alarm clock, the rudest thing in the world. Now, whoever created the alarm clock, I'd like to talk to him a little bit. You know, you're in a deep, you know what I'm talking about. We can laugh tonight, amen? It's all right. You know, but here you are, you're in a deep sleep. Then all of a sudden, beep, beep, you know, you're going to take that thing. You know what I'm talking about. You like to just throw it across the room? I got time. When I was in college in the dorm, there was this guy, one of our roommates. He had this alarm clock that sounded like a foghorn. I mean, it was loud. And, you know, he worked nights. And, I find the people, and if you work nights, I'm not talking about you, but, you know, generally, you know, because I work nights. I used to work overnight. And you know what? When you work nights, sometimes I think we're a little more agitated than others. You know what I mean? I know I was. I'll put it that way. I know I was, you know. You get a little more edgy and, you know, you do. It's just not, to me, it just was not normal. I like to sleep at night and work during the day. But anyway, there was this guy, he worked overnight. And our roommates it wasn't me really, okay? But other roommates in my dorm room thought it would be great just to go ahead and set that thing a couple different times and, you know, wake him up and so forth. And honestly, quite honestly, I said, you don't want to do that. I mean, you know, you really don't want to do that. But, you know, after he laid down, he was snoring, you know, they'd go ahead and they'd set it like 5 minutes later and, you know, he was very, very gracious. And I don't think I'd have been gracious the first time. But after about three times, that happened because they'd reset it. He took that thing and he threw it across the room. You know, we've all wanted to do that. But anyway, how did I get off on that? It's just a good story. That was free tonight, amen? Came to church for that, amen? But where was I? Now it got me off track. But anyways, the fear of the Lord, is reverencing Him. So what does it mean to fear Him? It is when we truly fear the Lord and recognize who He is, when we realize He's the Creator and we're the creatures. When we go ahead and put ourselves under submission to Him. We don't like that. We don't like that very much. When we realize he's the master and we are his servants, we don't like that either. I'm a slave? No, we're a servant to Almighty God. He's the Father and we are the children. This attitude manifests itself in our having a respect for him and his word and our having a desire to do what he tells us to do in his word. Obedience. You know, obedience kind of can go hand in hand. When you have the fear of God, you know what? When God reveals something in his word and he teaches you, the Holy Spirit teaches you something in his word, you know what? The man or the lady that has the fear of God wants to obey it. No, I don't think, you know. And by the way, that's the problem today with all our perversions that we have out there. It's simply because, you know, and I've heard it said by these folks, I've heard it said, you know, this is a very powerful book. I don't know about you, but when I get in this book and the Holy Spirit and I read it, you know what? I mean, there are some things that make it, I start feeling uneasy. Whoa, God, whoa. And when people don't like it, we start changing it. You know, we just need to leave the Bible alone. And I know it's not always pleasant. I know it's not. I'm a preacher. I look, whoa, come on, God. No, it's not always pleasant, but let's leave the word of God alone. But you know, obey the word of God. Obey his plan. You know, I talked about the fact this morning that when we fear God, we are willing to go ahead and push all of our desires away and make his desires become what we ought to do. In other words, whatever he wants us to do, we do it. We push aside our thoughts. We push aside our plans. We push aside all the things that we want to do. Say, okay, God. And you know what? If you're going to fear God, you may as well plan on burning a few bridges. You know, and I'm talking about things that aren't necessarily bad. But you know, sometimes there are things that hinder us from being what God wants us to be. Sometimes we'll let sports, sometimes we'll let all kinds of different things that aren't necessarily bad hinder us from walking with God and being where we ought to be. And if you're going to have a true fear of God, if you're going to have a true reverence and a true awe of God, you know what? You might have to cut away. You may have to ask God, what do you want cut out of my life? What are some things that you want cut out of my life so that you can truly stand in awe of God? I am yours. Are you his tonight? Yeah, but I'm saved. Great, and I'm praise the Lord. But are you really his? Do you really belong to him? I mean, I'm talking about, do all of you belong to God tonight? The fear of God is simply an awe and a respect for God. The definition of the fear of God, respect and awe. Then I want to talk tonight briefly about several benefits that I found of having the fear of God. And I noticed this, and I read this morning, verse number 33 of chapter 1. It's talking about wisdom crying out. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets, verse 20. You know, one who has the fear of God is going to have godly wisdom because, by the way, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We'll talk about this another place here in just a moment. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. When we go ahead and we take and we absorb God's knowledge and we fear God, this is the result right here. But whoso, verse number 33, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Boy, I love that. The very fact that I'm willing to push all my desires and push all my goals and push everything that I want, not necessarily bad, out of the way. Say, God, whatever you want me to do, you know, and in me absorb the wisdom and me having the fear of God, he promises, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Boy, I love that. I have his protection and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. But here's some benefits. Number one, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord will produce certain benefits in our lives, some dividends. Number one, it's a beginning of wisdom. We talked a little bit about that, verse number 7. Proverbs 9:10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The best place to search for true wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. You know what, when you read your Bible, Do you do it just, well, it's my duty, or I'm going through the Bible in a year and different things and so forth? I'm glad of that. If that's the only reason why you get your Bible, then you keep doing it. But you know what? Our Christian life would mean so much more if we go ahead and decide when we get into our Bible every day, okay, God, feed me. Give me something. Be like a sponge, if you will, and absorb the truth that God wants you to get from his word. You know, your Christian life could be enhanced so much more, I believe, if you would just, before you get down, sit down and read your word, have it with you and say, okay, God, give me something from your word today. You know, Dr. Tom Malone used to say, man, fine preacher. Boy, he'd preach. Boy, I tell you, I love hearing him preach. Passed away last year. He used to comment that he used to read the Bible until it burned in his soul. Until it burned. He says, you know what? And there'd be times that in maybe 20 minutes time, Holy Spirit gave me something. But you know what? He would not put it down until it burned in his soul. Until he got something from the Word of God. It's no wonder that he lived in fear of the Lord. It's no wonder when I've had the privilege of meeting him personally, and again, preachers are my heroes, those that stand by the stuff like that, I do stand in awe. But it's no wonder why they lived in fear of the Lord, because that's the kind of lifestyle they lived. They meant business for God. They desired to live in fear of the Lord. But it's a beginning of wisdom. The best place to search for wisdom is in the fear of the Lord, right here through the Word of God. You see, true fear of God is birthed out of a knowledge of how infinitely powerful and majestic and full of goodness that God is. You know, you realize who He is. When you fully recognize who He is, when you fully understand who He really is and how powerful He is, you know what? That can go ahead and birth out of knowledge of how powerful He can be in your life. Before one can begin growing, we must learn to fear Him. This is why it's vitally important that we get to the simple ones first. It's so very important to get to the simple ones first and teach them the fear of the Lord, so that they can go, the prudent people that is, get them to, and feed them the Word of God. Get them into Sunday school class. Teach them. Love them. Listen to them. You know, when a child asks a question, listen. You ought to try to teach them. Maybe they'll ask a question, a Bible question during Sunday school class or whatever. When they go ahead and speak, you ought to go ahead and talk to them and teach them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by the way, if you choose to go ahead and ignore their questions and so forth, they're going to go get their answers somewhere else. And it's not always the place that you want them to get it. It's the beginning of wisdom. Number two, a benefit, it motivates people to holiness. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Stop looking on your own wisdom, if you will, what you can attain, what you can do, and the fear of God will cause you to flee evil. The reason why we struggle with sin is we have no fear. You see, you can't have the fear of God and live outside the boundaries of the Word of God. Talked about that this morning. You know, that doesn't mean you're not saved, because there's a lot of Christians that okay, even when you do follow up, I know there's a lot of Christians, well, you know, they've been saved, and it might be they were saved so as by fire, they desire no growth, and I don't know their heart. I think they ought to continue to grow. We ought to do everything we can to pull them towards wisdom and growth and so forth. But you know what? I happen to believe there's probably going to be a certain population in heaven, according to 1 Corinthians 3:15, that there's some that's going to be saved so as by fire. They never had a chance to grow, or they never desired to grow, and what have you. And there might be a little pocket of people up in heaven that just, they desire to still live their own way. And I don't understand that. You know, I'll never understand that, and so forth. I don't understand why when you know you've been delivered from hell, why don't you want to do something about getting other people out of hell? You know, but there are some people that, you know, maybe, you know, they got saved, and maybe has a fire escape out of hell. And my preacher used to say, if that's the reason why they did it, it's not the worst reason. We'll probably see them up in heaven. Their name is probably written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But, you know, our Christian life ought to be more than that. You know, we ought to desire, as the Bible says, you know, as I mentioned, Proverbs chapter 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think that verse right there unlocks the power and the purpose of the book of Proverbs right there. And we ought to desire, you know what, and here Solomon's teaching his son, you read some of them strong verses in verses 1 through 5, you know, he says to give subtlety to the simple. Who was he talking to? His son, who was a simple man. I want to give you subtlety or wisdom. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. You know what, you want to have wisdom, you want to have divine wisdom, listen. A wise man will hear. And as a result of their hearing and absorbing the things of God, you know, they're going to grow. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself to God. And let me see, it left me. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 7, if you'd like. James chapter 4, verse 7. Should have had it marked, but. James 4:7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You know, when you go ahead and you submit, when you go ahead and decide, God, I want to live in fear of you, I'm in awe of you, I want my desires to be your desires, I want my walk to be what you want me to walk, I want to present, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I want to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. God, I want to do what you want me to do, but you know what, every day you're going to have to submit yourself to God, and when you go ahead and you feast upon this book right here, when you go ahead and you submit your life to God, and every single day, you know what the Bible says, Paul said, I die daily. You're going to have to kill yourself in the flesh daily so that you can become what God wants you to be, and so forth. And you're going to have to submit yourself to God. And you know what the Bible says? When you submit yourself to God, you know what? He'll give you the strength to resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know, the old devil will come up and try to pick at you and pick at you and pick at you. And the faithful man who desires to live in fear of God, he's an awe of God. And the devil may go ahead and pick. But after a while, you know what? He says, man, I can't get to that guy, so I'm going to flee. You know why? Because you have feasted upon the unsearchable riches of Christ. You have absorbed the things of God. You have desired, you've grown stronger, if you will. You're not a milky Christian. You are a meaty Christian. You've absorbed the things of God. You've grown. You've gone from being a baby Christian. You've gone to bearing fruit. You've gone to bearing more fruit. And maybe there's some here tonight, in the last years of your life, if you will, you're bearing much fruit. That is growth. And because you've desired every day in your life to absorb the things of God, God therefore through his spirit gives you the strength that when the devil picks at you and picks at you and picks at you and picks at you, I can't get to him. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know what, we can make it. But we'll, you know what, but when we fall by the wayside, we'll have every excuse out there. We'll have every excuse why we didn't go ahead and make it for God. The truth of the matter is, it's on our shoulders. You know, all the recipe is right here. The recipe is through the pulpit. The recipe is through your personal walk with God. You know what? Your preacher can't walk with God for you. You know what? You're going to have to develop that walk with God. I'll pray for you by all means. I'll counsel you. I'll put my heart to you Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'll go ahead and give you everything that I got. But let me tell you something. As far as your personal walk with God, that's on your shoulders. And let me tell you something, teenager. You don't have to have it. You don't have to be a casualty in the will of God. You don't have to be a casualty. You can go ahead and you can stand against the devil. You can go ahead and fight against the devil. You can stand. You can have that armor on, girded on real tight. But you know what? It's going to be on your shoulders. I'll pray for you. I'll counsel you. But the truth of the matter is, teenager, you're going to have to get on your knees and submit yourself to God. Submit every single part of your body to God. I present my body as a living sacrifice. And when he sees that you're totally submitted, you know what? He'll give you the strength. So that when the old smutty-faced devil and teenager, you know, some of you that are called to preach, some of you teenage boys, maybe some of you teenage girls, I'm kidding. It's all right. Just joking. It's all right. We can laugh. Amen. Oh, that one was a tough one. Okay? But some of you teenage boys, you told me, preacher, I've been called to preach. Let me tell you something. The devil's not real happy with that. You know, if you're going to go ahead and make it to the pulpit someday, or an assistant pastor, or a youth pastor someday, let me tell you something. You better daily learn, and you can do it as a young man. You better daily learn to get on your face to an almighty God and say, okay, God, whatever it is. Because let me tell you something. Between now and the time you graduate from high school to your entry of Bible college, the devil's going to do everything he can to try to sway you from that thought of being a preacher. He will do everything. He'll throw any anybody. He'll throw anything. He'll throw a career in the way. I've had people tell me, and I've worked with youth. I've had people tell me, fine men call to preach. And I get concerned, and I'm glad, and I believe they're sincere, either 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. And they say, preacher, Pastor Weeks, they go to youth conference, or they get in just in church and so forth, and I'm called to preach, but I get concerned when they've got all this time from the time to graduation. Because I know what the devil's going to do. The devil's going to do everything he can to throw a career choice other than the word of God, other than the will of God. He'll do everything he can to throw, I'm going to go in the army. That's fine. If that's what God wants you to do. And I've sat down with a young man back a year or so ago. You know, he was called to preach. I said, hey, man, how are you called to preach? No, and he kind of stumbled across. Now I'm going to go in the army. I looked at him right square in the face. I said, do you know that the will of God in your life? He couldn't look at it. Because he knows that I have a decision so that he wrote down in a revival meeting one time, and he gave to me an invitation one time that I'm called to be a preacher. Let me tell you something. Hey, mom and dad, if you want to go ahead and change your lifestyle, so to speak, and live in the fear of God and live in the fear of God in your home, and you decide to change some things, let me tell you something. The devil's not going to be too happy about that. He's not going to be real excited about the sweet spirit of God taking place in your home. And he'll do everything he can to throw a monkey wrench into all that and throw a bad attitude or a bad spirit in your house. Let me tell you something, parent. What are you going to do? Whatever he'll do everything, and he'll cause discouragement. He'll cause, about the time, and I've seen this, families, they come to church, but, there's some things out of whack, and they come pray together and say, we're going to change some things and so forth, and we're going to do this and do this and do this, and you made a commitment to God. Let me tell you something. When you make that decision, let me tell you, about the time you get home, the devil will be meeting you on your doorstep, trying to throw some sort of monkey wrench in there. He'll do everything he can to take all that divine plan, that divine commitment that you made to an almighty God, and he'll try to throw a monkey wrench in there, maybe throw some bills in there, maybe throw a job loss in there, or an illness in there to try to divert you from the decision that you made right here at an holy altar before God. Hey, I'm talking about the fear of God tonight. Fear of God will motivate people to holiness. The Bible teaches that. It will motivate people to holiness, to a separated life. These verses, Proverbs chapter 3, 7, I read it, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs 16, 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged or cleansed, if you will, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. These verses will tell us that the fear of God promotes holy living. The one who truly reveres God, respects God as he should, will not do anything to disgrace and dishonor God. When you get to the point where I want to fear the Lord, I want to be in awe, I want my desires to be his desires, you know what? There is something in your heart that when you disappoint, there's something there that's going to motivate you to holy living, and it'll bring you to a point where you don't want to dishonor God. I don't want to be a disgrace to God. I want to live in fear, and I always want to be mindful of standing in awe and being in awe of an almighty God and being reverent to an almighty God and being having a great respect for almighty God. I always want to be mindful of that. And when you go ahead and you get motivated, as when you're in living in the fear of the Lord and you become motivated to holiness, there's something in your heart that, something in your heart when you do wrong, and you will. We're imperfect. But you're so conscious of God and the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart that when you sin and the Holy Spirit says you shouldn't have done that, immediately, because you're living in fear of God, you respect him. And when you do make a mistake, and you will, as I mentioned, immediately you get on your knees and you confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talk about the fear of God. That's a benefit. It'll motivate you to holy living. Move forward here. The beginning of wisdom. It motivates people to holiness. It prolongs life. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You know, this is not a blanket promise. But any number of things can happen along life's road that may take you home to God. It may happen if he so chooses. However, generally speaking, those who live their lives in fear of the Lord are more likely to live to a ripe, good old age. The Bible says so. Romans 10:27, I'll read again. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You know, I don't know about you, but I love life. I do. I love getting up. I love life. I love being with my family. I love coming to work. I just love life. And I've said it before, and I'm not, I don't think this is bad to say that, you know, even so come Lord Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. If Jesus so comes tonight, praise the Lord, I'll have be able to run up and down the streets of gold. I'll inherit my mansion and so forth and so on. But the truth of the matter is, if Jesus tarries, I love life. And I just soon live to be a ripe old age if the Lord chooses, if the Lord tarries. I just soon live a ripe old age. But you know what? The Bible says, if I'm going to prolong my days, I better live in respect and awe of God Almighty. I better go ahead and be respectful to him. I ought to be conscious of him. But the years of the wicked, the second part of that verse, shall be shortened. You know, approximately 60%, I picked up this article the other day, and I just kind of typed it, threw it into my own words, if you will. Approximately 60% of human illnesses can be traced directly or indirectly to fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, or any number of emotional stresses. Now you add to that the awful pain caused by alcohol, cirrhosis of the liver, and other diseases, effects of drunk driving, family issues, tobacco, emphysema, cancer, heart disease, and immorality, venereal disease, and AIDS. We can see a life lived in the fear of God with obedience to his word result in a much healthier existence. You understand what that meant? Talk about those that desire to live a clean, godly life and live in fear of God Almighty, who, by the way, holds your breath. He determines whether we breathe tomorrow or the next breath. He determines every breath. Life is but a vapor. You know, and the truth of the matter is, if Christian, we can go ahead and live any way we want and live out of fear of God. But the Bible says it won't lengthen your days any. And we can go ahead and live like the world and act like the world and drink what the world drinks and smoke what the world smokes and do all that and ruin our testimony. And I just happen to believe, I think Scripture teaches that if we as a Christian can knowingly live in sin, I think God, if he so chooses, to say, you know what? Your testimony is destroying my name. I'm going to come up here. You're going to come up here so I can keep an eye on you. I think he does that. I think he so does that. When you get up there, he'll give you a good scolding then. You know, but the truth of the matter is, the fear of the Lord will prolong your days. The fear of the Lord will produce a sense of security. I got to keep moving here. And Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. His protective hand will be upon you. When we walk in fear of God, we're confident that he is on our side. Well, I love that. I love the song, Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? We're confident of his divine protection. The person who walks in fear of God will have fewer times when your salvation is doubted. You know, not to belittle this, because I doubted, there was a time I doubted my salvation. But when I go back to my reassurance of my salvation, and as the soul winner that went through some scripture verses and prayed with me at my reassurance time, he says, probably you were saved. Probably. But we're not going to take that chance, and we're going to go ahead and settle this thing once and for all. But when I look at that time, you know what? It was because I had some known sin in my life. See, you won't doubt your salvation. People won't doubt their salvation if you've got sin in your life confessed, if you're confessing your sin. You won't doubt it. And many people do. And I'm not belittling. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, I'll doubt my salvation, But the truth of the matter is, you live a clean life. Why would you doubt? I mean, you live, as far as you know, and I'm not talking about we all have our faults, but I'm talking about if we are conscious of the Holy Spirit in us, And if we are living in line the very best we can according to the Word of God, you know what? You won't doubt your salvation. And you know what? I'm testifying, when I went to an altar and realized, man, you know, I needed to settle this thing and know for sure, you know, and I doubted, you know what? There were some things in my life that shouldn't have been there. And probably, had I lived according to the Word of God, obviously, had I lived according to the Word of God, had I gone ahead and lived confessing my sin and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me and guide me and so forth, I probably wouldn't have had my doubts. But you know, you can have that security. You know, the fear of God will provide security. The Bible says it's a sense of security. The person who walks in the fear of God will have fewer times when they doubt their salvation. The fear of God will produce a strong sense of security. It produces life, real quick. Number five, it produces life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Number six, I'm going to keep cruising here. It makes all of life better. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in trouble therewith, teaching us that it is better to have limited resources and be in the will of God than it is to have plenty and the trouble that comes along with it. You know, the most richest people tonight, and I'm not saying, you know, if God has provided things and so forth, man, use them for God. I mean, if you've got extra money in your pocket, your bills are paid, you've got some extra toys and so forth, I say, man, go ahead and use them things for God. Use it for His glory. But you know, those that are living outside the will of God tonight, and they think that they can buy their happiness with all the riches of the world and so forth, you know what? There's really a whole lot of trouble that comes with it, and there's a lot of unhappiness that comes with it. But you know, you take someone who lives in sincere in the will of God and sincerely living in the fear of God, you know what? They'll have this position, or they'll have this attitude, if you will, that they're satisfied with what God gave them. You know, the fear of God will provide a contentment. The fear of God will go ahead and provide a satisfaction. It will make life better, if you will. Teaching us that better is little with the fear of God than great treasure and the trouble therewith. Teaching us that it is better to have limited resources. You know what? Thank God if you got a roof over you. You know what? When you live in the fear of God, you know what? You're not necessarily looking at the neighbor next door. Well, they got this big mansion, but you don't have all the, thank God you don't have all the bills they have. You know, thank God that you do have a roof over your head. Thank God for the clothes on. Maybe they're not top of the line. Maybe they're Walmart. Praise the Lord for Walmart. Amen. Amen. You know, maybe it's a Walmart brand. Maybe it's not Macy's. I went into Macy's the other day. Whoa. I mean, I just wanted to look at a suit. I wanted to humor myself. You know? It wasn't happening there, that's for sure. Just wasn't happening there. But it makes life better. If you're in the Lord's will and walking in His fear, then you know what? If you're in the Lord's will and you're walking in His fear, according to this scripture, you know what? Then your care is His responsibility. I'm reminded, I preached last Sunday morning, I guess it was, on Moses being discouragement. And you know how Moses came and he prayed to God and he was kind of whining and complaining back. Numbers 11, you can read it later. You know, but at the end of his prayer, God revealed to him, Moses, your job is not to feed the people. Your job is to lead the people. It's my responsibility to feed them, to really take care of them. You just do as I say and you lead them. And you know what? When you live in fear of God, you know, then your care is ultimately His responsibility. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These things. He'll take care of these things, if you will, if you seek Him first. If you live in fear of God and you respect Him and you're in awe of Him and your desires are where are His desires and your plan and your will is His will, you know what? And you seek Him first. You know what? Then these things, your bills, your care, so to speak, you know what? God will take care of that. All these things shall be added unto you. He shall, the Bible says, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs. I mentioned this as well. It goes along with this point about it makes all of life better, but it produces a satisfaction. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide or dwell satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord will produce a satisfaction. You know what? The fear of the Lord will take a Christian and say, you know what? I'm satisfied. I'm happy with what God has given me. God, I'm very thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my home. I'm satisfied with the job. I'm happy. They're satisfied. And then the fear of God, it'll bring great blessings. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By the way, it may not be the riches that sometimes, you know, it'd be nice. I'm not even going to reach in my pocket because it's going to disappoint me. But it'd be nice to have a little bit of extra money, sure. And there's nothing wrong with extra money. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having some toys that go along with it. But you know what? But the Bible says, you know what? When you live in fear of God, you know what? He'll bless you. It brings great blessings by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, you'll be amazed what God will go ahead and give you. You know what? The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If we get busy delighting and living in fear of God and delighting ourselves in the Lord, you know what? Some of the things that you want, he promised he'll take care of your needs. I think maybe kind of a blessing on the side, so to speak. You know what? He knows your wants too. And your wants aren't necessarily bad. And if he sees you doing what you're supposed to do, if he sees you serving, if he sees you living in fear of him and in awe, you know, it might just be that he'll give you an extra $100 in the mail. It might just be that he might give you a newer car. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. It brings great blessings when you fear the Lord. You know, John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The fear of God produces the greatest life possible. You know what? Being a Christian is the greatest life. Living in fear of God. And you know what? I know there can be some miserable Christians simply because they've chosen not to live in fear of God. They've chosen not to grow. They've chosen whatever the case may be. And if they want to live that way, and I'll do everything I can to help them and lead them, God, whatever the case, and pray with them. But you know what? I wouldn't change a life that I have for nothing. I wouldn't change the fact that God, he's there right by my side. I know he's there every single day, every single moment. The fear of God produces great blessings. The definition, talked about it in length this morning, an awe, a respect, a reverence for God Almighty, the one who created you, realizing he's the creator and you're the creature. Realizing he's the father and you're the son, you're the servant. And tonight I went through many, many blessings. And then, of course, there's a decision that's related to the fear of God. You know what? The decision is yours. I did my part, the very best I could, with God's help, to show you from the Word of God what the fear of God is, the benefits of the fear of God. But you know what? I can't make you decide to have it. That's upon your shoulders. That's got to be your decision. And I want to challenge you, church, every young person, every child, every adult, why don't you decide, you know what? Maybe you are living outside of the will of God. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You know it. You know what, life will be so much more, you'll get so much more blessing if you choose to live life according to God's plan. Realize who he is. Recognize who he is tonight. Realize that he holds your breath, next breath. Realize that hurt that you're going through right now, he knows about it. You know, it might be good that you just come to him and talk to him about it. The fear of the Lord. Do you want it? You know what it is. The definition's very plain. There's a whole heap of benefits. You know, back in Proverbs 1:33, you know what? You'll dwell safely. That's a benefit when you go ahead and live in fear of God. But you know what? It's your decision. It's your decision. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. And I know, Lord, I'm talking to a prudent people, many here tonight. They're prudent. They're wise. I pray, dear God, that as a wise Sunday school teacher, as a wise mom and daddy, as a wise preacher, as a wise leader, that we would be mindful of those that are under us and live by example in the fear of the Lord. And desire in our hearts that, and realize that somebody probably influenced us to live in fear of God, that we may do the same with our own child or teenager. That we may do the same for those that are underneath us, so to speak. I pray, dear God, that we would decide. I can't make the decision for my church people, but I desire our church to be a people that wants to live in fear of God. I pray, dear God, that our church will always reverence you and keep you first place. I pray, dear God, that our church will always stand in awe and have a great respect for you and your word. Now, God, there's some individuals here, but individually we need to make that decision. I can make it as far as individually, and I can make it as far as the pastor and the direction we want to go as a church. But individually, it must be made on our, by ourselves. I pray, dear God, that we'll consider the fear of the Lord and perhaps have to push some of our desires away so that we can be in total fear, total awe of you. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't